start to the fence. I need more of you in me. Let's sing it together. I need more of you. That's the way it's got to be. Start to the fence. I need more of you in me. One more time, let's sing it tonight. I need more of you. That's the way it's got to be. Till there's no room left in me. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now. From the start to the finish, I need thankful for that desire tonight. I'm thankful for a place to come and we can leave tonight with more of Him. No doubt about it, we're in the right place tonight. I've got some prayer requests. We'll start out though. We've got several testimonies to share with you. I think we have about as many testimonies as we do prayer requests, so thankful for that. Timothy's CAT scan is clear. Thanks for praying with us. That's from Harold and Sarah Carroll, so we appreciate that. Also, we're glad to have Sister Phyllis Phillips back in the service with us tonight. Thank the Lord for looking after her. Appreciate that. And Brother Gene Terrell says, the Lord has miraculously healed me. Saturday night, I could hardly walk. And I did see you moving real slow this weekend, brother. And I could hardly walk. My left knee was swollen with fluid. After prayer, I went home. And Sunday, it was so bad, I went to the clinic and they could do nothing for me. Monday morning, I got out of bed as though nothing had ever happened. Got up, went to the gym, and walked on the treadmill for 32 minutes. So, thank the Lord. Appreciate that. Prayer request for Brother Monroe Greeley, pastor of the church in Short Gap, Virginia. He's got an infection. Request a prayer for him. Please pray for my uncle Vernon Olinger in Marion, Virginia. He's in the hospital with possible congestive heart failure, undergoing tests now. It's from Brother Bobby Hayton. Let's remember that. Brother Gene Lehman would like for us to remember his wife in prayer. She's sick. Continue to pray for Brother David Nunley. I think Brother David's in the ICU at the Med Center now. I believe still having a lot of respiratory problems. So let's stand tonight and let's pray for these requests. Brother Gene, would you mind to come and take these needs to the Lord?
In God's grace, if you'll bow your heads with me. My precious Heavenly Father, I come into thy presence tonight. We come to you with thanksgiving and with praise and with wonder. Father, two times in my life I have experienced what I experienced over the weekend. I saw a man fall off of steps one day on ice, and his right arm was broken so bad that the bone stuck down in the bottom next to the skin. And I watched my daddy pray for that man, and that bone jumped back in place. And Lord, this happened to me the same way. And I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I give you glory. And Lord, we come to you tonight with these requests and ask, Father, that you would look down, Lord, and hear and answer prayer. And Lord Jesus, because you know the need and you saw this happen from the back of your mind, from the foundation of the world. So Satan did not, he did not surprise you. He did not blindside you, Lord. And Father, we were told that, Lord, we must be smitten. But Lord, you get glory when, Lord, when you heal and move, and Lord, the situation is rectified. Lord Jesus, the glory comes to you, and we thank you. Lord, I pray tonight for Brother David Numley, because Lord, unless you move, Lord Jesus, there's no hope for him. It's in your hands, Lord, and we place them there, Lord, for your glory. Praise your holy name. Amen.
A wise man once said, but I'll not complain, 'cause I'm sheltered, I'm clothed, and I'm fed. Dreams put me through. Well, that I have dear Lord is in you. Sing it to him tonight. dreams, the harder I fall. And sometimes I wonder if dreams are worth dreaming at all. But my disappointments, they can't keep me blinded and blue. Lord, not when I'm reminded of the sweet peace I have known in you. The only peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. In all life's frustration, I need you.
Sing for us tonight. All right, if you'll come, be getting ready to do that. Let's sing anytime, any place, anywhere.
Well, I know a man who can walk on water anytime, any place, anywhere. And I know a man who can calm a storm anytime, any place, anywhere.
blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, and this is my song, praising my Savior. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst at my side, angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy and whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with His goodness, and I'm lost in His love. And this is my story, and this is my song, praising my day long. I'm praising my Savior all the day long.
Appreciate that song tonight. Let's stand. Brother Donnie gets ready to come. Back with us tonight. We're thankful for that. Glad to have him back. Appreciate our brothers that filled in when he was gone. Appreciate the men of God we have right here with us. Thank you, brothers. Let's sing. In Jesus' name we press on as Brother Donnie comes.
In Jesus' name, we press on. In Jesus' name, we press on. Dear Lord,
glad for that.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful tonight, Lord, that we have your great name. We know it's more than just saying the name of Jesus, but we must be a part of that name. We are so thankful, Heavenly Father, that you've given us the opportunity to be partakers of the restored image. Lord, we're asking you tonight as we look into your word that you would help us, Father. We know that the Bible is filled with so many stories of people, your people, that were humans like we are. They had their failures, their mistakes, their shortcomings. And we're so grateful that you allowed those things to be written so we would be able to see them, hear them, read them, and see what you did with those type of people. Because it gives us such hope for ourselves. I pray that you'd speak to us tonight from your word, Father. We are here to learn. We're here to be corrected. We're here to worship. We're here to adore, to magnify, to exalt, to lift you up.
Amen.
Be with us tonight, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 I just want to look at y'all for just a few seconds here. I miss y'all when I'm gone. I know y'all miss me like a toothache, but Genesis chapter 32, verse 29. Let's look again tonight at the life of Jacob. And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, wow, did the Bible make a mistake there? Oh my goodness. So what do you think? Should we just throw the whole book of Genesis? Really? From one verse to the next verse, talking about the same place, but gives a different name? Oh my. I'm sorry, y'all, I never read that before. So as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day. Because he touched the hollow of the thigh. Now this is what happened. Because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. How many believes Jacob was a changed man? But how much was changed? Jacob was a changed man, for sure. But Jacob was an unchanged man, too. It's such a wonderful thing to look at this story. We can see how the angel of God, Christ himself, had wrestled with Jacob, pull his name out, getting Jacob to tell what his name means, testifying of his weakness, expressing his failures, his fears, his shortcomings, all of that by simply saying, "My name is Jacob." In this, God does a wonderful thing for him. Jacob meets God, then Jacob meets Jacob, then Jacob meets Israel. Now he's ready to meet Esau. Once you meet God in that order, no matter how much trouble you got, if you'll meet it that way, you'll be able to face it all. A lot of us try to meet our trouble before we meet God in the right way and before we meet ourselves. The angel of God tells him, now your name is to be Israel. But what's amazing is that when you look at the application of his name, it's not like that his name is replaced to Israel. His name is Jacob, yet he's to be no more Jacob, but he's to be Israel. But he's called by the name of Jacob almost double the amount of times that he is Israel after he's changed. So why would he still be called by this name Jacob if he's a totally changed man? Because he's not a totally changed man, he's a partially changed man. So from Genesis 33 to Genesis 50, we find the name Jacob is used double the amount of times of the name Israel. So here is a man who is changed and yet not changed. A man who is a prince but still is identified as a supplanter. Oh my. Now watch in verse 30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, which signifies the face of God. Now he names this according to his experience, signifying the name of the place. And he said, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved," which he would have never thought that it would have been. This is why it's so remarkable to him that he's actually met a theophanic appearance of God. And he says, "I met God and I'm still alive." So he said, this is outstanding. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him. Now he's wrestled to the breaking of the day. And now the sun is now coming up, rising in the east. And as he does, the sun is now rising upon Jacob. So it's rising on the earth, and it's rising upon Jacob. So what was it? A dual sun rising. Now Jacob is truly a changed man. Part of him is. He's had a great experience with God. But is he changed through and through? Is Jacob forever going to be Israel after this time? Isn't it amazing that after God calls Abram, Abraham, he does not refer to him as Abram again. So why would God say, "Your name is no longer Jacob," and then God would still call him Jacob after the name change? But he doesn't call Abraham Abram anymore after the name change. Because after Abram come to his name change, he lived to the fullness of the name change. And Jacob, even though his name was going to be changed to Israel, as we're going to see, he never fully
in this few days after this, or few years actually, ever come to the full manifestation of the name change and let the changing of the name change his life. Now, many folks do the same thing when it comes to being Christians. They are called Christians. Well, I'm a Christian. I got saved. I'm living for the Lord. I'm a Christian. And they accept the Lord as their Savior. And yet they hear the preacher preach on sanctification or something else moving farther into the kingdom of God. They get mad. They get upset. They get angry. Don't you tell me what to do. Ain't nobody telling me what to do. Well, they're not going on and living up into the name Christian, which means Christ-like. So are they Christians? They are. A certain identification was Jacob Israel, and he was, but he was more Jacob now than he was Israel. Boy, y'all looking at me funny. Now what? So here he, as he halts upon his side. Now this halting is to be a sign or a birthmark, as it was. It's going to be a parallel to what Paul had when he called it a thorn in the flesh. So the thorn in Paul's flesh was a contrast of a great spiritual thing that had happened in Paul's life. Now, the thorn, maybe to other people looking at it, they would feel sorry for him and have pity on him. But Paul knew the presence of the thorn was a great sign of the abundance of the revelation. It was actually a love gift from God. So here Jacob, now he goes halting upon his thigh. Some people might look at him, poor old guy, I feel so sorry for him. But if he would have looked at it the right way and projected it the right way, that halting on the thigh would have been a means by which he could testify of the glory of God. Now, as long as he halted upon the thigh, it would be a resemblance of a limping prince. But we're going to find that Jacob didn't always limp. Jacob would go right back to being Jacob again, and he would quit limping and actually start crawling. Praise the Lord. Now watch. Jacob calls the name of this place Peniel. I've seen God. I've met God. A wonderful thing has happened to me. Now look in verse 31. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. So Jacob's lameness would be as a constant reminder that he had found victory with God. I wonder sometimes, friend, if our things that whenever we come to the Lord and the Lord demands this and that and the other of us, and the Lord may bruise us a little bit. And the Lord may allow us to become a little bit wounded. Some of you sisters, you're ashamed of the way you dress and the way you wear. Don't you understand that limp of your hair is to be a significance of the glory of God upon your life? The world may look at you and make fun of you and call you everything in the world because you don't dress like them and look like them, and they may look at you as if you are crippled. That limp of yours not looking like them ought to be a sign that you have met God face to face. Our brothers, it ought to be the same way with us. Many of us who've met God and we've come away from the wrestling match and we come away with our pride bruised, or maybe our arrogance, and we're halting on our arrogance and we're limping on this and that and the other. And the very thing that we're ashamed of, our limp, ought to be the very thing that is a sign of our victory. Oh, glory. Hallelujah to God. You see, when God rules our lives, it puts us into position to be kings and priests with Him. Now, God could not rule completely and totally over Jacob until he had met Jacob and Jacob had met him and something had happened to him. And it's not until God rules our lives that God can actually put us in authority, which is what we call adoption, of course, in the message. And we'll never have adoption and find our place in complete maturity until God has the ability to rule over our lives. He will never give and designate authority and power, great power, to those he cannot rule. Now, he will give you an anointing. He might anoint you to sing. He might anoint you to write songs. He might anoint you to do this and that. Anointing is not authority. Anointing is not power. False prophets will be anointed, but that don't mean they've got the authority of God. And the church said, Now watch. So God wants to rule over our lives. I want you to notice now as Jacob comes up to this time. Chapter 33, verse 1. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and he looked. And behold, Esau came. Now the trial is he's going to face this trial after this tremendous blessing. How many of you have ever noticed that in your own life? Well, you go to church on Wednesday or Saturday or Sunday, or maybe you have a good day at home, you're reading your Bible, listening to a tape or whatever it is, and the blessing of the Lord just comes to you. It's amazing how that you'll have trials and tests after that. You know what I'm talking about. And here after Jacob has this great blessing from God, now after he sees God face to face, he sees Peniel, Jacob sees himself, Jacob now meets Israel, and then what's the next thing that can happen? Jacob is going to now meet Esau. You know, it's amazing, while Jacob was at home, Jacob served himself, and it caused great trouble. When Jacob left home and went to Haran, then Jacob served Laban, and once again it caused great trouble. But when Jacob would ever come to a place to where he could be able to serve God, then Jacob would not actually find as much trouble, but Jacob would really find that he would become part of the answer instead of causing so much trouble. Oh, glory to God. That went right over the top of your head, just as sure as the world. One of the reasons many of us have so many problems and that we are the problems is because we're not submitting ourselves in complete control to God. And if we can ever submit ourselves, leave home like Jacob done, leave Haran like Jacob done, and then submit ourselves to God, we will find we are no longer the problem, but we will actually become part of the answer. Oh, hallelujah. You're talking about a victory, friend, that God, now Jacob is actually going to become part of the answer to the very conflict that has brewed for over 20 years. Now, he was the very cause of this. That's right. Jacob, under that fullness of that old nature, was the very cause of this problem. But now being met by God, being helped by God, and a portion of him being changed by God, he is now going to be the answer that is going to help bring peace between him and Esau. And Jacob lifted up his eyes, oh my, and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the handmaids. Now watch what Jacob is fixing to do. He lifted up his eyes and he saw the angel. He lifted up his eyes and he saw the grass around the ford Jabbok. He lifted up his eyes and he saw many things. He lifted up his eyes after meeting God. But now he's going to lift up his eyes and see Esau, and we're going to see that Jacob is not a completely changed man. When he saw Esau and his 400 men, it's like Jacob reverts back temporarily to the same Jacob that he was before he ever wrestled with God. You're doing good, you're listening, but that's all right. Now, you know, it's easy for the flesh, after that we've received something from the Lord, it's easy for the flesh to fall back and be like Jacob was. Many of us have done it. How many times has God moved for us and answered 10,000s of prayers, and yet something will come up, a bad report from the doctor, or something on your job, your home, and all of a sudden it's like God's never answered one prayer for us. It's like we go back to square one and we're just, oh no, what are we going to do? I don't know what's going to go. And you realize, what is that? God used Jacob as a type, not only for himself, but in showing in the true conversion of the elect of God that there is a Jacob and an Esau that is left in the elect even after they're born again. You might as well say amen. There is a part of you that is born of God, and you are just as eternally secure as Christ himself is. But there is another part of you, face it, that is not saved, that does not have the Holy Ghost, that's going to bother you as long as you live. You might as well say amen, Jacob. And it's going to be there in your way, and you're going to have to keep it under subjection until the very day that you die or your body is changed. And it will be there. It will will get weak. It will have failings. It will have failure. You might walk out of here tonight on cloud 9, but in the morning you're down on cloud 37 below. And you think, Lord, where in the world are you? And you say, how in the world can I be that way? I don't have a hard time at all understanding how I can soar in heavenly places. And in 15 minutes after I get out from under the anointing, it's like I'm in another world altogether. Because part of me is Jacob and part of me is a prince with God. Part of me is unconverted. Part of me is born of Don and Betty Reagan. And the other part is born by the eternal breath of Almighty God. Part of me never gets sick. Part of me never gets weary. Part of me never gets down. And the other part of me, the least little thing can get me down. And the least little thing can get me weary. But I want to tell Jacob, here's what's going to change you after a while. So hang on with me, Jacob, because I'm fixing to lead you to a change. Jacob is now fixing to fail himself, his family, and God. The prince halts across the ford, no doubt getting him a stick so he can be able to walk, and he comes across. But now he's going to go back to being Jacob again, and he's going to start scheming. Like too many of God's people today, we fall short of what God wants us to be. Now watch him. You can see by the reflection of the way he does the order of his family. In verse 2, he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. You know, if you're part of Jacob's family, you never really had to worry about where you stood. I mean, if you was the favorite, you knew it, and everybody else knew it too. And if you wasn't as favored, well, he'll put you up front and let you get killed first. Now, this is a real way to do it, right? Some of y'all should have said amen, because that's the way you do your kids. Oh, my. Now, is this the proper way of doing it? I mean, he's showing his favoritism. What do you think? Is it any wonder that when Joseph comes along and becomes a more mature young man, that the rest of his brothers hate him? We know his brothers hated him without a cause. We know the Bible tells that. But you're not going to tell me that this did not lead up to that cause. It led up to that something and that division of knowing. Oh, my, you imagine how that they must have felt. Boy, you're getting quieter and quieter. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times. Now he's not limping, but he's bowing. Now as he bows, he's not reflecting the halt in his walk. That only is reflected when he's walking. Had he walked to Esau, and he would have come up on his stick, it would have given him an opportunity to tell Esau what happened the night before. But instead of a limping prince, he's groveling at the feet of Esau. He passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. Now, according to the Eastern time, the way they would do it, they would come out at a certain distance, they would bow, go down their knees, some of them flat down on their face, then they would get up, walk a little bit closer, do the same thing again, get up, do the same thing again, get up, do the same thing again. So he's just walking short burst. So the limp is not going to be very obvious, and apparently it wasn't, because Esau never even mentioned it. Can you imagine? You have just met God. You have met God the night before, and you don't even tell your brother. And you're not walking in such a way that your brother even notices the difference. Good thing to leave the name Jacob attached to him. Oh my. Now watch, here he comes. He's bowing and getting up and moving and bowing and getting up and moving. the scripture says the elder should serve the younger. Do you understand, friends? This is why the church wants to put pressure on the bride. It would please the church nothing better than to see you and I bow before the church, them and their greatness, them and their power, them and their political clout, them and all that they've got, this and that and the other. Don't you see what they want out of you? They want you to bow before them. I'm not bowing before the church. You do what you want to. I am not bowing before the church. If Jacob would have stayed up and walked like a prince, he would have been what? Reflecting the name. He would have reflecting the name of Prince Israel. But what's he doing when he's bowing down before Esau? He's reflecting the name Jacob. So the name Israel does not have a full impact upon his walk. That's why folks say, if he's a Christian, I don't even want nothing to do with it. You know why? Because the name Christian has not affected their lives so much to make them honest. Oh, Jesus. So here he comes. Everything's in order. Jacob order, that is. So you've got the least loved wives and their children in front. Then you've got Leah. And you've got the most beloved. Jacob strikes within his limp. This was his strength. Where was Samson's strength? In his hair. This is Jacob's strength. But the devil talks him into hiding that strength. And getting down here like this. Your strength is being separate from the church. Your strength is being separate from Laodicea. It's not being like the rest of them. It's not being absorbed into them to where we don't know. Brother Donnie, we stand out. That is part of our strength. That is part of who we are. The very thing they look at and make fun of is our strength. Don't be ashamed. Don't get down on your knees to hide your limp. Do you see Esau bowing to Jacob? Had Jacob limped, my brother, what happened to you? Oh, brother, you'll never believe it. I was so afraid of meeting you, and I met God last night, and God's changed me. God's helped me. And I'm so sorry. I recognize that I've done wrong to you, but I'm going to meet you as a prince. I'm going to walk up before you in my chains form. But the name did not have full effect. So he grovels at the feet of Esau. Tim, in case you understand why, that we're so hated so much now more than we were 15, 20 years ago. Because we was not that separated out from the church as much as we are now. And the more separated the bride gets from the world and the church, the more she's going to stick out like a sore thumb. And the more pressure the devil's going to try to put on. To what? To get us to grovel at the feet of Esau. The seven church ages may have bowed, but we're not bowing. All of them didn't do it, but in that first church age, they started bowing down to Esau. My brother, sister, we're at the end of this seventh age. We've got our own time frame called the bride age. We are not bowing to Esau. Oh my. And Esau ran. To meet him. So Jacob goes crawling to the church. And the church comes running to meet the bride. Something wrong with this picture. Esau ran to meet him. No doubt riding on a camel, being a great herdsman and a great man. being a man of great power and authority. He had now dismounted and now had got down on his feet and he's running. Why isn't he bowing? Why isn't he crawling to the air? Instead, it's the air on his knees. I wonder how it makes our Father feel sometimes when the church out here gets healings right and left. They get miracles right and left. And you act like you're the dog and the slave and the family of God. You act like you can't get nothing from God. Come on, children. I've prayed for Jezebels and watched God heal them. I've prayed for sinners and watched God heal them instantly. I've prayed for folks that wasn't even right with God and pray for some of you. And you go right back and struggle. Something wrong somewhere, friends. Come on now. Don't you get the attitude, well, God owes it to me. God don't owe you nothing. Anything God gives you is God's grace. Well, I'm bright. He ought to heal me. When you get that attitude, you won't get nothing from God till you change it. Look at Esau. He comes right up there. And look at Jacob back here bowing. The limping prince or a crawling pauper. Down on his knees. Before Esau. Praise the Lord. Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him and they wept. That's wonderful. But it just ain't wonderful how Jacob got to him. The kiss, of course, was a sign that the heart was open to receive one with a welcome. In verse 5, and he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, who are those with thee? Now here Esau doesn't know for sure. The men have gone before him in the droves and he said, my Lord's coming behind me. He didn't know how many kids he had, how many wives he had. So Esau is just inquiring, who's these people with you? Yeah. Who are these? And he said, the children which God hath graciously given. Let me tell you something, friend. There is a great difference in humility and trash in your testimony. Jacob is not a servant to Esau. I am not a servant to a denominational name tag. Listen, I refuse to be a servant, don't you? I refuse to be a pawn by which preachers can manipulate us and send us here and there. What is he doing? Don't you see why God left the name there? It's Jacob again. Jacob is trying to use his wit. So, would y'all have left the message by now? Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they... Oh boy. Here it starts with the pastor, and then the whole church starts bound to the church. And they bowed themselves. This is backwards. Jacob is the prince. God just told him, you are a prince with God. Lord help us. Verse 7, Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel. They bowed themselves. And he said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I met? And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. He's true to the name, isn't he? Do you realize when you're dishonest, when you're not reflecting the life of a child of God, you're still true to the name of your own nature. Now he wasn't ignorant of the design of what was going on. Esau knew well enough. He's an Easterner. He knows what gifts mean. But he wants to hear it from Jacob himself. A year again, Jacob has the opportunity to use this to reflect of what God has done. But instead, he just falls right into it and he says, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. I thought his daddy told him he would be Lord over him. But once again, the prince is not limping. He's scheming. He's conniving. I know we don't have no schemers here at the church, but just in case somebody on the internet would hear it, I hope this burns our hide, don't you? Bunch of sorry outfits out there. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep thou that thou hast unto thyself. And Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For thereof I have seen thy face as though I'd seen the face of God. Would y'all still been following this man as the messenger of the day? Now what's he doing? Pleading innocent. Projecting this humble type of thing. Not witnessing. Not witnessing. But scheming. Friends, politics has been around longer than all of us put together. Politics is in church, it's in the family of God, it's been around everywhere. I hate it myself, I don't know how you feel about it. Amen. I ain't talking about out here, I'm talking about in the ranks of the family of God. Right. Now he said, nay, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight. Now notice, instead of confessing his sin against Esau, and you'll notice in this, he never mentions one thing. Not one time does he ever mention, I wronged you. I wronged you, and I'm sorry. But he wants to give him a present, and this is his apology. You know what I'm talking about when I'm fixing to say there are some folks, they just can't hardly say they're sorry to save their life. It's just like it ain't in them. It just ain't in them. They'll pout on you and pout on you. I know that. I know they do because they did me that way. Some folks here in the church, they'll get mad at me and pout on me. They'll turn their nose up, sit on me, want to preach, won't look at me, won't shake my hand. Then they get over their pouting spell, they'll email me or send me a text. That's their apology. You know why? They're not man enough or woman enough to say, I'm sorry. I wronged you, Brother Donnie. I wronged you, Brother Wes. I wronged you. They just can't do it. You know why? They ain't got the Holy Ghost. Because if you've got the Holy Ghost, he not only teaches forgiveness, he gives you the ability to forgive. And he gives you the ability to say you're wrong when you are wrong and not blaming everybody else for your wrong. But you see, Jacob is not living up to the princely name which he's received just under 24 hours from this happening. And instead of coming out, my brother, I wronged you. Forgive me, forgive me. He's trying to buy this favor. I want to find favor in your sight. What? You know, saying that you're wrong can do so much more than buying me a steak supper. Oh, my. So instead of witnessing and confessing, Jacob is begging. A prince groveling, begging. Mm-mm. Please, brother. Please. Please, church. Please, Laodicea, forgive us. Forgive us for saying you're bobbed hair. Forgive us for saying you're going in the tribulation. Forgive us. Isn't it amazing how he twists this? He saw when I saw you. It was like seeing God. I should think not. I'm myself, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm hoping God's going to have a whole lot more favorable look and attitude than Esau has. How can he do this?
He's still Jacob. Oh, he says, God has been so gracious to me and he's been so good to me. And he doesn't mention the new name. He doesn't mention the change. He mentions nothing about this. He just kind of lumps it all together and says, praise the Lord. God's been good to me. Ain't God good? Well, the Gaithers can sing that, you know, all day long. Ain't God good? Oh, that's a common cliche. Ain't God good? God's good all the time. Amen. Oh, that's right. God helps me pay my bills. God helps me do this. Yeah, we can all fellowship with the church on that. But tell them, God's been so good to me. He let me see you send a prophet. Whoa. Go ahead, Jacob. Bow down to that denomination. Just talk about God paying your bills and this and that and the other. Come on, venture out a little bit. Amen. Now, he knew. If Esau received this present, you see, it was their custom. You could not receive a gift from an enemy. It was an unwritten law among them. If an enemy sent you a gift, you refused it. But to refuse a gift of a friend was a great insult. So Jacob can get him to take the gift. What was the purpose of meeting God? The purpose of meeting God was to help Jacob to be part of the answer under the new name of Israel to bring peace between him and his Esau. But instead, Jacob is trying to bring peace by the old way of scheming. Oh my. Notice in verse 11, take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee. Because God hath dealt graciously with me. Because I have enough. Now what you notice now, both of these mention similar terms. Esau says he has enough. And Jacob says he has enough. But their enoughs are two different enoughs. You understand? Now the church out here will tell us, I've got enough. But their enough is not enough for me. And my enough is too much enough for them. You understand? I mean, they don't think they've got to live any certain way. They've got to do this and that. I've got enough. I went to the cross. I met Christ, my Savior. I've got enough. I don't need no more. Holy Ghost? Oh, no. If it make me out like you, I don't want it. I have to clean my closet out. I have to get rid of my old movies and this, that, and other. I've got enough. I've got enough. But you're saying, nah, that ain't enough for me. Just going to church. That ain't enough. Put my name on a book. That ain't enough. Getting saved. That ain't enough. So Esau had enough, and Jacob had enough. I don't know about you, I've just about had enough of this world, all I can take. Oh, glory. When I get enough of him, amen, and I get enough of this world, something's going to break loose after a while. Now notice Jacob is pushing this issue. He actually now urges him. He urged him. And he took it. And he said, let us take our journey. Let us go and I will go before thee. Now watch the church. It becomes now the spokesman. Why? Jacob has now submitted himself unto Esau. So watch Esau now move in the position of authority. Now he's going to speak for him and Jacob both. And he said, let us take our journey and let us go and I will go before thee. Uh-huh. That's what you get when you grovel before them. They take over. Come on now, children. Why in the world would we want to sell this church into a denomination? And let them start telling us what to do. What we can preach and where we can go and do this and that and the other. One of the first things they do, get rid of me and I don't blame them. They'd want to get rid of your freedom and worshiping God. They'd want to get rid of your baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let us go here. Let's go to the council. Let's go over here. No, sir, I ain't going. I said, no, sir, I ain't going. We don't belong to Esau.
We don't belong with Esau. When you go to groveling at the feet of Esau, Esau will take over.
Oh my. You know, it's amazing when Christians go to walking so close to that line of Esau's boundary. It's difficult to separate, friends. Sure it is. The carnal mind is enmity against God. And the carnal mind will always pull on the spiritual. I hope you understand what I'm fixing to say. That there is an element of Esau that actually enjoys being around excellent Christianity. It's like something in them that they acknowledge, and God will even make them testify that you're different and you're weird and whatever they say, but yet if they really need prayer, they send you a text. Or they call you. Why? Because they testify, they know your weirdness, your lip is the very thing that makes you special. Your lip, the very thing that they like. Man, they say that people read from some man. Really? You mean every church don't read from some man? We're just reading from the right ones. The very limp. Oh my, the poor old things and preachers just limp around in that message. And they have to check out what Brother Bram said about this. Let them make fun of my limp. That's what makes me a prince. Woo, glory! Let them make fun of us. Oh my, they search that message. They study that message. They look and see how Brother Bram said about it. Go ahead and make fun of me all you want to. I have met my God face to face. And I don't want to offend you now, but I am not going to get on my knees to Esau the way Jacob died. You see, in the East, an acceptance of a gift. The acceptance of a gift, a present, is a sign of your acceptance in their sight. Oh my, I wish I had time to stop here. Don't you understand the very thing of salvation? God had to have a gift. The superior offered a gift to the weaker. And the weaker, if they accept the gift, it means they're in allegiance of friendship. We didn't have a gift to offer God for our sin. So God himself provided the gift and gave the gift to us. And if we accept the gift, it means we're on friendship with God. Can't you see why people don't go to hell because they smoke and run around, commit adultery? They go to hell because they refuse God's gift. To receive the gift in the Eastern term of a superior was to reject his friendship. When folks reject salvation, well, what about, this does not stop for the gift of salvation. What if God sent the baptism of the Holy Ghost? What if God sent 9 spiritual gifts? What if God sends pastors, teachers, evangelists, and prophets, and we refuse those gifts? Oh my. Look at the danger now, Jacob. Look what you've done. You've subjected yourself. You've crawled to him. You have submitted your entire family. They've all crawled to him. Now he's going to take over. You know what's going to happen? If they leave here together, Esau is going to be the ruler. Come on, friends, let's be honest. All these folks that have left the message, that hate our guts, they would love to have me on their side. They write my name and call me this, that, and other, and Happy Valley Church and these other preachers to stand against them. They would love it if I emailed them all tomorrow and said, you know what, I'm leaving the message. I want to join with you all. They say, yay, yay, bunch of hypocrites. So I'm better because I changed sides. Come on. Now look what Jacob has done. He's done an act. He's not acting like a prince. He did not have to walk up arrogantly to Esau. He didn't have to walk up with an attitude. Limp. Hey, brother, you preach so and so and so. And show me where the Bible says it. Well, I can't exactly show you where the Bible says it. You
show me what the Bible says, this, that, and the other. Of course, I always like to give them enough rope and then let them hang themselves. Some of the preachers that called me recently wanted to debate and fuss and argue. This ain't in the New Testament. This, I said, I agree. Is child molestation in the New Testament? What about the word pornography? What about incest? What about beer? Champagne? Should I go on or should I stop? Some of y'all's getting eyes are getting bigger and bigger. But do we believe it's wrong? We do. Why? Huh? We judge fruit. Well, the Bible don't mention beer. No, but you watch a beer drinker and see the fruit they produce. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's proof enough for me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So let them laugh. Let them make fun of my limp. Poor old brother Donnie. I feel so sorry for him. He just preaches and quotes Brother Branham and just said, I feel so sorry for him. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm on my way like I got good sense. Don't feel sorry for me, Esau, but don't hold your breath expecting me to come groveling at your feet because you'll die. You'll die quick. Come on, church. So now Jacob has let himself into this cozy type of situation. Let us take our journey. Let us go and I will go before thee. Well, where are we going, Esau? Well, of course, I live in Seir. Seir. Which is Edom. Which is not the promised land. Oh, you mean so I can't be really like this with you and you live in Seir and me live over here? Oh, no. You've got to come over here and live where I live. And I'm the chieftain over here. Oh, Jacob, now you imagine him sweating bullets. He's thinking, dear God, what have I done? So Jacob falls back on one of the things he's excellent at. A liar. And he said unto him, my Lord knoweth that the children are tender and the flocks and the herds with me, they are young with me. And if men should overdrive them in one day, all the flock will die. What's that cunning nature now? Friends, this is scary. Let me tell you something. There are Christians that are like this. They are so cunning in their flesh and how to answer certain things. Whew. Myself, I'm dumber than a coal bucket, and I'd rather be dumber than a coal bucket and smart and cheating and conniving like this right here. Now watch how he's still groveling. My Lord knows. Well, you know that I can't push my young ones. I mean, the oldest one now is just about 13. And there's no way that I can push it on. And I just can't do it. But this is the man who's just come from Haran. Who's traveled several hundred miles. And you're going to travel about 30 or more up to Seir. Watch him. Lying. But what you going to do? Hide behind his children and his flocks. Well, we would really like to go to church more, but my kids, they just, little Junebug, he's got soccer, and little Sally, she's got football, and little Freddie, he's got baseball, and little Mary Lou, she's got piano, and then little Ezekiel, he's got You all so want your children to be a part of something. Do you not want them to be a part of this? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with letting your children be a part of something until their focus becomes that and not this. So he hid behind his children and his flocks. Let my Lord, come on, give me a break. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servants. Come on, Jacob. Is this the prince talking? No. This is the deceiver. He has no intention whatsoever of keeping this. He's lying. When you borrow $5,000 or $50,000 or $5 from somebody, and you tell them, I will pay you back, and you don't do it, you are a liar.
Amen.
And if you tell them you'll pay them back by Friday, and you ain't got the money by Friday, according to the message of the hour, you are obligated to call them and let them know. Well, that ain't very deep. No, it ain't very deep, but it's right where you live, ain't it? That's why you're so quiet on me. Praise the Lord. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children are able to endure. The children just can't take Brother Donnie's preaching. He screams and he hollers. Church 3 times a week. I've been thinking we ought to have it maybe 5. To get 3. That much more as the day's approaching. It don't make no difference if we had it 17 times. Some of you ain't going to come at once a week anyhow. I ain't having it for you no way. I'm having it for them who want to come. Now what's he doing? He's promising, but he knows in his heart he has no intention whatsoever of carrying out one letter of this. He was still named well. Jacob. Esau did the gracious thing. He forgave him, embraced him, hugged him, offered to go with him. And he said, no, that I don't want you to do that. We said, well, fine, I'll leave some of my men with you. Then let them come. No, I don't want to do that. No, that's fine. You go on, then I'll come with you. Esau was more gracious and more honest than Jacob was. Like his farewell with Laban, Jacob's meeting with Esau was not a reconciliation, but a truce. Now listen carefully so you don't misunderstand me. As much as we would love for all of our family, whether natural or spiritual, to all be on the best of terms, in reality, that'll never happen. Just because somebody is your brother in the flesh or sister in the flesh, or even your mama or your daddy, it doesn't mean that you're compatible with them by nature. Now, come on, don't sit there and look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you have got fathers, you're a bit more compatible with them than the moon and the sun. Some of you, your mother's the same way, yet you love her and she loves you, but yet there's a strain or a missing link of compatibility between you, and you love them and you wish it was different, and you try this and try that, and no matter what you do, you know what? You have to come to a spot too that you have to realize, like Jacob did here, that he was able to make peace and try to put the past behind, but not really ever be able to live next door to Esau. According to the scripture, they met one time after this, and that was when they buried their father, and they separated again and never met again. Watch Jacob. Oh, my Lord. My Lord. Make a good Catholic, wouldn't he? Esau said, let me now leave with thee than some of the folk that are with me. And he said, what needeth it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord. Let them go to their church and we'll go to ours. Why don't you beg a little more, Jacob? You've already down on your knees, made a fool out of yourself. So Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him an house. A house. A man whose testimony is supposed to be a pilgrim and a stranger, living in tents. And he goes to Succoth and builds a house. God tells him in Genesis 31 to come to Bethel, not Succoth. So he not only lies to his brother and portrays this deceiving attitude, but he actually goes the opposite way, across the brook again, and goes the opposite way. He regressed away from his experience. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him a house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore the name of the place is called Succoth. So your God speaks to him now, sometime before this, Genesis 31:13, and says, return to Bethel. I'm the God of Bethel. You never find God saying, I'm the God of Succoth. But instead of Jacob getting his children in church, verse 18, and Jacob came to Shalem, the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from the Dad Aram and pitched his tent before the city. Oh Lord, no. No. Not like Lot. Instead of going to Bethel, the house of God, he'd been all these years away from his father. He don't even go see him. He doesn't go back to the place that God appointed, but he goes over to this Canaanite Gentile city and does like Lot, pitches his tent toward their city. And they have a feast in Shechem. And Dinah, his only daughter, hears about the feast. According to the Targum of Jonathan and Josephus, Dinah went down to hear and see the fashions and the styles of the daughters of Shechem. And whose fault was it? Jacob, the prophet. Let's stand. Children, do I understand the paramount measure of grace that God gave to this man? I do not. It seemed like he was one of the most hard-headedest, stubbornest, ridiculous men that God ever tried to deal with. But I'm glad he did. Think of it. God meeting him and meeting him time and time again. And God would tell him to go this way and he'd go that way. God would say, go this way and he'd go that way. But remember, God was rebuilding his masterpiece. A week ago last Monday morning, I sat in a tree stand before daylight. And I've got a little tiny MP3 player that I take with me when I go hunting. And I stick an earbud in one ear and leave the other one open for game.
I felt led of the Lord to listen to Masterpiece. Brother Man talks about the fall, maybe we'll look at it this weekend, and how that God started rebuilding, and he rebuilt upon four foundations: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. And he says Jacob was the foundation of grace. Because anyone knows, he said, it was God's grace to Jacob. Anyone knows, it's been God's grace to Donnie. What about you? Hallelujah. Why didn't God write him off? You can see what Brother Benjamin said, the term that Esau was a much better man. Look at these examples we've looked at tonight. But Jacob alone had the seed. Isn't it amazing that the seed could fall in sometimes the awfulest ground that ever was? The human ground I'm talking about. It could fall in the ground of a prostitute, or fall in the ground of this, that, and other, fall in the ground of a deceiver. But God won't give up. He won't give up. Aren't you glad, friends? Aren't you glad? Let's pray together. Changed, but unchanged. Delivered, but still struggling with the old outer man. That's the picture, the epitome of Jacob. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight, Father. I'm so glad you allowed these things to be written in the Bible. I'm so grateful, Lord. I'm glad that the Jews did not have the ability to take it out and eliminate the human mistakes of the patriarchs. I'm glad you allowed them to be written. He's been preached on for thousands and thousands of years. Been an encouragement to many. Lord, we by no means want to speak derogatory of the great patriarch. But yet, Father, to use his human failure as an example, help us, Lord. All of us at one time or another, no doubt, have groveled in some way before a parent, a boss, an employer, somebody, a friend of the world that we wanted to gain their favor, and they laughed at our limp. So instead of limping in front of them, we bowed before them somewhat. Lord, there's such a balance that we need. The limp you've given us is our strength. Oh God, help us, Lord. But then if we limp in arrogance, it renders our strength weakness. If we limp in human pride, and we limp with the wrong attitude, then our strength is gone from us. So the key is learning how to limp and walk this walk with a limp in it, but not filled with arrogance and human pride. Let Esau live in Seir. You said you'd bless him, and you did. You said you'd make him a great nation, and you did. But him and Jacob wasn't destined to live together. How much better off Jacob would have been to tell him the truth. Now I wonder what kind of testimony that Jacob had again. When Esau waited one day, two, three, then a week, then two, then a year, 2 years, and Jacob never showed up. I wonder if it didn't make him wonder that Jacob was the same old man he was before, still up his old line and cheating. God, help us. Help us, Lord, to walk an Israel walk, a princely walk, a princess walk. It's truly a life worthy of the gospel. Jacob is not a life worthy of the gospel. Only Israel is a life worthy of the gospel. For we know the name Israel means power with God. Power with God. Oh Jesus. We know the very reason you met Jacob was you met him in the place of Esau. That Jacob could wrestle with God instead of wrestling with Esau. So he wrestled with you
and got hugged by Esau. He got the sinew shrank on the hollow of his thigh and got kissed by Esau. But the reason he got kissed by Esau was because he'd already met you and wrestled it out. We're faced with our choice tonight, Lord. We got to meet you, wrestle these things out. Lord, we don't want to be arrogant and different. Lord, I want to be nice to everybody and love everybody. I don't know of anybody I'd want to be lost. Not one. Not one. But Lord, I can't walk with everybody. I can't move to Sierra. I just can't do it. But neither am I going to Sickles. I want to go to Bethel. The house of God. I want to go where the angels are ascending and descending. Lord, we don't want to take our daughter Sardinas and put them before Shechem. Let them wind up molested. And then turn our sons into murderers. It don't happen if we go to Bethel. Help us, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many has needs in your life tonight? Would you raise your hand before the Lord? Lord Jesus. Those of you streaming the service there in your home, your car, wherever you are. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for my old human element, that old element of Jacob. Lord, sometimes I fear. Lord, sometimes I get discouraged. Forgive me, Lord. I got to be honest, Lord. Sometimes this limp has made me ashamed. Oh, I've limped. Lord God, I pray that you'd help me. And that limp is my strength. How many times have I went to meetings, Lord, and you made me look like a simple schoolboy preacher. Made me preach something so simple that was just simple as it could be. Wasn't that I didn't know any deeper. But my limp is I try to follow your spirit. And in that it makes me look so simple sometimes. But yet, Lord God, in that is my strength. Help us as Christians to realize it, Father. We need your help, Lord. Help us not to grovel at the foot of the church. How much easier would it be if we just compromise on this and that and the other and we just start fellowshipping with all the churches around and, my, we're all brothers and we're all going to the same place. Yeah, before long, they'll be controlling us. They'll be telling us what to do, what we can sing, what we can preach, who we can have preach for us. No, sir. No, sir. I'd rather preach to four walls, to me and Carol if I have to, than to grovel before the feet of Esau. Let me limp like a prince. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, great Adonai. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Let's just raise our hands, friends, in the presence of the great King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just worship Him now. Let Him minister to you tonight. Let Him minister to you. Healing, strength, your finances. Maybe you find yourself groveling at your boss's feet or somebody else's feet in order to obtain favor. Don't do it, children. Limp. Limp like a daughter of God. Limp like a son of God. You sisters, you don't have to put no rouge on your face. Get rid of your limp in order to get them to quit talking about you. They'll talk about you anyway. You paint your lips and then they'll keep on to you. Cut your hair and then they'll keep on to you. Start wearing breeches. They ain't going to let up on you. They want to control you. Oh, they'll tell you it's freedom. Don't you believe that for nothing. It ain't freedom. They're not free theirself. They're bound. I said they're bound. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. The only true freedom is in Christ Jesus. A life surrendered in the presence of God. Then He can trust us with His authority. Don't lay your cane aside, so to speak. Don't get down on your knees and hide your limp. But limp as a prince. Limp as a princess. Glory to God. Or it may be embarrassing. It may be humiliating.
bear it like Paul did his. Praise be to God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Help us, Father. Lord, if there's some here tonight, they're sons and daughters, but they've never met you yet, ready for you to hurt them. I pray, God, they'd limp out of this place tonight. Help them, Lord. Oh, it's scary. Sure. We don't limp just when we meet your Savior. No. Jacob had met you a long time ago in that degree, but he hadn't been limp. He saw the angels of God, but he didn't limp. He had to come to a deeper consecration before he limped. Lord God, help us tonight, I pray. Lord, maybe some of these folks walk in here tonight on their own 2 feet. Maybe they have to be packed out spiritually. Maybe they get up in the morning. Maybe they find a cane there by their bed. And they'll find themselves from now to the body change limping for the rest of their life. But they'll walk with power. Then they'll find that they've wrestled with lust and this and that and the other. They'll find power in their life to overcome it. Oh, it may always bother them, but it will not control them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How would this verse, this chapter been written tonight, Lord, if Jacob would have walked? If Jacob would have walked before Esau, what would these verses have said? Oh my, I'd love to know it, Lord. I wonder what it'd say about us tonight. If we'll get up off of our knees, as it were, groveling before the church, groveling before politics, groveling before this and that, to walk as sons and daughters of God. Enoch did not walk, oh my. He did not grovel before the people of the world that day. But Enoch walked with God. Hallelujah. And he was not, for God took him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I can't even walk without your holding my hand. I don't know how, Lord. I've never been this way before. I've never been to this stage of the journey. It's changed, Lord. It's not the same as it was even a year ago. It's changed. I've never been this way. Help me. Lead me, Lord. Lead me as a shepherd, Lord, so I can lead the sheep. Help me, Lord God. How many needs His help tonight? You're walking tonight, no doubt, where you've never been before, children. We need it. We need His help. We need His guidance. His leadership. Harry's singing for us, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Thank you, Lord. Let's just sing a little before we go. I know you kids got school and all that tomorrow, but let's just sing just a little bit before we go.
Lord, I can't even walk.
Yes, Lord.
Without you holding my hand.
Hallelujah.
The mountains too high.
Oh, yes, Lord.
The valleys too wide.
It's so wide.
Down on
my knees before you, Lord, not Esau.
I'll learn to stand. Lord, I can't.
Oh, Jesus.